On this episode of The Commercial Break.
This is Captain again. I'm going to go ahead and turn the seatbelt sign off and allow you to go ahead and use the bathroom as long as you use it quickly. Let's keep ourselves strapped in otherwise. We're currently number 57 for takeoff. So I think I think there's a couple extra minutes built in here. But currently clear skies in Atlanta. 85 degrees when we get there. We're going to be at Gate T. We'll have your baggage at 7. We're going to let the crew's going to take good care of you back there. Just sit back, relax. We'll have you back to Atlanta just as soon as we can. I'll keep you updated when I get an update. Okay, thanks.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of the show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris. Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? I'm just going to take that earphone out. It's fucking with my head. Oh. Can you hear you now?
Hello.
No, I liked it better when I couldn't hear you. Best to you, Chris.
You had me on mute.
I had you on mute. Well, you're in my left ear, so I had to mute you.
Right.
So you can't... I can't hear you. I wanted the stereo. I want to not be able to hear you in stereo. How's that? See if I put this back in and it makes a little bit of difference. Whatever. Who cares? It's just a lot of bass coming through my left ear, so it sounds like I'm nasally or not clear. Whatever. No one cares. Welcome to the commercial break.
Welcome.
Is everybody? We're building an ark over here. I'm shocking and awing the pool, and we're building an ark in the backyard, getting ready for... Tropical Storm Arthur, which is currently closing down the city.
I feel
like this is a snowstorm with rain. Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. No, everything's shutting down.
Yeah, I was thinking
early,
about this.
Closing early.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. I was thinking about this yesterday or this morning when I got all these you know weather warnings and notifications. I thought to myself, no one does drama no better than the weather people. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
They're always telling you how bad it's going to be and 5+ inches of rain and trees down and, you know, travel disrupted. And it never, ever happens. Never. Not once. It never happens. We had like 6 snowstorm warnings this last winter, and not one time did... Well, one time we got
once.
Some people got some snow. Mm-hmm. That didn't include me or anybody I know. So,
yeah,
fuck you, weather people. AccuWeather my ass. BackuWeather is more like it. FackuWeather. FackuWeather is what it is. And it's going to fuck with my pool.
I was going to say, how is the pool?
The pool's great, man. I did it.
Okay, you did do it.
Yes, I did it, and I ruined my children's eyesight for life in the process. Anybody who's been tuned into the commercial break knows that this has just basically turned into a saga about my pool for the last 2 months, and I finally licked it. I licked the algae, scraping and brushing and...
Yeah,
pool
you had like
robot.
A super bloom or something,
I had a mustard bloom in there.
God.
Yeah,
mustard.
Which is about as lovely as it sounds. It went from green to yellow, and that's the stuff that like really sticks on. There's like this greenish yellow. It can really get nasty. And it got nasty. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we got back from Spain, I looked, when the sun came up, I looked and I said, oh shit, I'm in trouble. And I must have dumped 40 gallons. 40 gallons of shock in there. Excuse me, 40 cups, 40 pounds of shock into that pool, Chrissy. Day after day, hour after hour. I was doing it every 4 hours, and I had the new vacuum that was a pool robot that was doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to scrub the side of the walls to scrape off the dead algae so the chlorine...
whole process. Jeez.
Fuck, man.
But now
fuck.
That you've done it, I mean, we were talking before, like, you know, how do people know how to do the pool? What, is there a school somewhere, whatever? You could now do some online training courses.
The funny thing is that Lance, the Starbucks boyfriend,
yes,
his daughter has a new house. They have a pool. They woke up one morning. It was the same color as my pool.
Mm-hmm.
And the pool guys kept telling him, oh, it's a metal stain. The water is metal stained. And I'm like, nah, that's not metal stain. You got to shock the pool. Go to the pool store and buy 50 pounds of shock and just pour it in there. Whatever ails you, chlorine.
Yes.
Crystallized bleach. That's what it is. You know what they're doing to that reflection pool up in Washington, D.C.? They're pouring bleach in there. That's chlorine. That's what it is. They're
mm-hmm.
trying to do the same thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
So if Trump's, you know, best pool guy ever, Bitcoin is up there pouring bleach in their pool. I can pour bleach in my pool. That's what happened. I bleached the shit out of it, and it was awesome. Like last Friday night, I couldn't see the stains anymore. I think I had scraped off 99.9% of the dead algae. There's a few little spots. If you look really hard, you can see some green. And I'm like, that's it. I did it. I licked it. I tested the water. The chlorine was, it's the color strips. Do you know what I'm saying? You dip it in there.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So purple is like the highest level of chlorine in your pool, mm-hmm. right? It goes from basically white to purple. And pink is where it should be. Somewhere between pink and really light purple. Mm-hmm. Mine was dark purple. 10 plus. I don't know. 10 parts per million. Whatever the fuck that means. So Saturday morning, woke up, tested the pool again. Still a lot of chlorine in there. Still way more purple than you would want.
What do you do to counteract the chlorine?
You got to raise the pH. Okay. You got to put stabilizer in it. Mm. I don't know. Something like that. But I don't bother with that part.
No.
I just go one way. I don't want anything living in my pool. I'm not looking to increase the pH in my pool. This is not a vagina. I just want it to be clear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you want your children to be able to swim in it.
Well, I did let them swim in it. And then that night, all of them. Ah, Daddy, my eyeballs. Daddy! They're in the shower. They're like,
God.
They were fine in the pool, but as soon as I got out of the pool, they're like on the floor, like, So then I'm like, we got to put Visine. Let's put Visine. And everyone's like, no drops. And I'm like holding their eyes open. They're screaming for mercy. They're like, no, not the drop. No. Every 3 hours, I'm putting Visine. And I'm like, I'm being a good dad. Look at me. I'm washing their eyes. I'm making sure they feel good. And then I asked Chad, I'm like, hey, Chad, how many times should I put Visine in my child's eye for chlorine poisoning? And Chad goes, do not put Visine for chlorine poisoning.
Oh, no.
It makes it worse. Oh, and I was like, well, dad of the year. My kids were waking up in the middle of the night. I need water. They're like guzzling water, burning eyes. Their hair is all blonde and stringy.
Oh, no.
It was all, I poisoned them, basically.
Yeah.
Listen, in the public pools, they're probably, that you get the exact same chlorine level. Like they really highly chlorinate hotel pools, public pools. Chad told me. That's where I'm learning how to do the pool. A pool school with Chad. Mm-hmm. Chad told me, it said, hey, listen, unless you're like swimming in chlorine, like in a bucket of chlorine, you're going to be okay. It's bleach.
Okay.
It's like, your body can handle it. It's just you're not supposed to be exposed to it for long periods of time.
Right.
What it did say was, what Chat did say, did you put sunscreen on the children? Oh. And of course I did. I'm a good dad. I put lots of sunscreen, lots and lots of sunscreen. Did you put face sunscreen on the children? And I was like, what's the difference, Chat? And Chat goes, well, if you're using an adult body-based
sunscreen,
and putting it on the children's face, it's likely that the chlorine is burning off the sunscreen, and then the sunscreen is causing the irritation, right?
And getting sunscreen in the eye is very painful.
No, it is, because it sticks to your body for 7 to 12 hours. It sticks in your eyeballs for 7 to 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So I just threw my children in a highly chlorinated water and said, and even 6 days later, when I went out and tested it this morning, it's still on the purple end. Like the chlorine hasn't quite burned off yet. So I threw some more shock in there. So, okay, here we go.
Just to be extra sure.
I just want to be extra sure that I don't get that fucking mustard bloom again. It's really bad. Plus, I have a tree at the end of the pool. And the tree is now leaning to one side, and it's leaning away from the pool because its roots are going underneath the concrete, and it's probably like hitting the wall of the gunite of the pool, and it can't go anywhere. So it's the feelers are going out the other direction, the roots. So the tree is starting to lean away from the pool, but the branches are hanging over the pool. These huge branches that are way too high.
Yeah, that's a big tree.
And everything is falling into the pool. I can't tell you the amount of ants, bugs, spiders, leaves. And the problem is that shit, when it gets into the pool and it starts to decompose, that's exactly what causes an algae bloom. It's raising the pH. It's organic material. So I don't know. So
I got out there with that skimmer.
Yeah, I called the tree guy and I said, hey, what do you think? We just kind of take this down. Don't let the city people know. Zoop, zoop. And he said, hey, man, No problem. I don't know nothing. Take it down for you.
What about just removing the branches?
Yeah, I'm going to trim it up is what I'm going to do. I'm going to trim it up. And then in winter, if it's still continuing to lean, and it will be continuing to lean, I might have to take it down because it's a huge tree.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes down, somebody could get hurt. And that could be the house that I live in with my children in that bedroom. So unfortunately, the twin trees, I kept one of them. One of them was really leaning over the house, and I had to take it down years ago, and now I kept this one, but it has grown into a monster tree. The only thing that makes me sad about this, honestly sad about this, is I think there's a whole ecosystem going on in that tree. There are squirrels. Mm-hmm. There are squirrel nests. I think there's a hawk nest up in the top of that tree, I hate to take it down, but I won't do it now. I'll do it during the winter. In that way, at least it's not like, and the nest is not in active use. Yeah. The squirrels are, what do squirrels do? Do they hibernate? Where do they go for the winter?
I
see them out there. Yeah. What do they do? How do you keep warm?
Fur.
Yeah, I guess. What do they do when it rains? You never see the squirrels out there when it rains. Where do they go? They just hide somewhere?
They go to the trees.
Yeah, or under the house or something.
Yeah,
probably in my gutter is probably where they go because I hear them up there.
They find places.
Little fuckers. I like squirrels, though. I mean, I saved a squirrel. I'm a squirrel emergency technician. If you ever have a problem with a squirrel, just call me.
Didn't you say two squirrels? What was the one when you and Astrid were at the beach?
No,
that
was a bird. That was a seagull. Yeah, that was a seagull that was covered in some kind of weird toxic substance that they use on the submarines down
there. That's right.
And it just washed up on shore, and it did not look good. It's a neurotoxin. And we went to a bird sanctuary, and the bird was not looking good when we put it into a box that the people at the club where we were at, the beach club where we were at, gave us a box. We put the bird in the box, what we call the bird sanctuary, and they're like, it's 30 miles down the coast and we're not open today, so leave it in the bird box outside. Like they had a box.
Like a deposit box?
Yeah, like a deposit box with other birds in it. Like other people had dropped birds off.
Wow.
I told this story so many years ago, but Astrid and I get in the car and we had an SUV and we put the bird in the back and we closed the box. But as we started to drive, we could hear a little fluttering back there. So I said, hey, let's pull over. Just put it in front with us. And that way you can hold the box down, right? So we're driving 30 miles down the coast. It's a beautiful drive, by the way. You know, two-lane road on the coast. Beautiful down there in Amelia Island to Jacksonville. Beautiful drive. Only the bird, who was not doing so well when we picked it up, suddenly did well and started to fly around the car. And Astrid was losing her shit.
I mean, would have been too.
Well, I was losing my shit also, to be fair. But that bird started flying around the car. And I'm driving like 70 miles per hour down the road. Astrid's screaming. The bird is like,
oh, God.
So we had to pull over and knock it over the head and get it to calm down. I had to put it back in the box and be like, shut up, sit down.
I'm trying to save you.
Yeah. So then we got and we put in the bird box. And I texted the lady and I said, hey, the bird's in the bird box. She said, yep, we'll get there. And I said, okay, what? And I go, can you keep me updated? She goes, it probably isn't looking good. And I was like, is that because you won't be back till Monday to take care of the bird? Which, I mean, I can't fault the lady. She owns a bird sanctuary. She's already doing her part. Like, you know, she got to take a day off. Yeah. But I said, hey, you know, keep me posted on the bird. And she goes, yeah, we've had a lot of these birds and that not many of them make it. The only thing that I can do is just give it some fluids to flush the neurotoxin out. And there's a medicine that I can give it that hopefully, if it's not too far gone, we can recover. She goes, but, you know, not 9 out of 10 of these birds don't make it. They just die.
No.
And I was like, that fucking sucks, man. It's some weird soap that she said, it's some weird soap that they use to clean the submarines when they're in base. And she's like, we have petitioned the government. We have been talking to the Navy. We're trying to get them to stop using this particular soap because it's so bad for the birds. And she goes, and then it washes miles and miles up or down the stream. And I was like, that's kind of fucked up.
It is.
I mean, listen, I know you need to keep the submarines clean and everything. You don't want any barnacles on the subs. That slows them down and, you know, can have problems when you're trying to, you know, nuke Iran or whatever. But at the end of the day, like, if you're going to kill a bunch of shit to then try and have a submarine that helps you defend the universe from killing a bunch of shit, then I don't know. Are we
canceling out?
Yeah, is that canceling out any good you're doing? Can't you use like Dawn dish soap? Isn't that stuff? Don't they like go take that stuff to oil slicks and shit?
I think so. I've seen commercials for that.
We've all seen the commercials.
Yeah, where they're cleaning the little bird.
Yeah, it's a great commercial. Yeah. If your bird gets stuck in an oil slick because of the Exxon Valdez, Dawn was right there to help you out. So why can't we just throw a little dish soap on those submarines?
I know.
I got a pool scrubber. I'll go out there with you. We'll scrub that algae right off that son of a bitch. Don't you worry. Brian's got a solution to almost every problem. At least he thinks he does.
Right.
So there you go.
It may not be the correct
solution. Why don't we throw some, let's shock the submarine. Let's do that. We'll put some pool shock on it.
Chlorine fixes
everything. I'll scrub
it.
Yeah. I'll get my pool robot to go up and down it. It'll be, we're all good. We'll figure it out. We'll save some birds together. You, me, and the Navy. In the Navy, we'll be having some fun in the Navy. Yeah, the Navy was kind of gay from the beginning, huh? Like, with all the... I mean, I don't care, but I'm just saying, like, you know, it's just like, in the Navy.
Little dance. Yeah,
in the Navy.
Was Popeye that in the Navy? He was, right?
Popeye was in the Navy.
Yeah.
Popeye was a World War One sailor. And I've actually known some guys in the Navy, and tough motherfuckers, dude. That's you when you go out on a ship like that for months on end, and you have no communication, and you know, like you think about these people who have been deployed out in the Strait of Hormuz or out in the Gulf, and or even the Mediterranean, and you know they go on an aircraft carrier or the 15 ships that accompany an aircraft carrier. Mm-hmm. You're talking about tens of thousands of people out there living. Day to day, day and night, no break, no rest.
On that ship.
Mm-hmm. Hundreds and hundreds of people, sometimes thousands in those big aircraft carriers.
At the crew mess.
Yeah, the crew mess hall that's like feeding 24 hours a day. I mean, we've all seen the YouTube videos about how people are a lot better than we are. About how there's actual heroes in the world, right? We've seen it. We've all seen it. And then you think about, you know, oh, well, you're on your tour and you're doing your thing and you've been out for 6 months and you're ready to come home and spend a month at the house with the kids and the family or just take a break, whatever your situation is. And then, you know, Donald Trump picks up the phone, Venezuela. And then you're out for another 3 months and then, you know, Iran, you know, Bitcoin. And then you're out for another 6 months. You're doing a year or 18 months without any R&R.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up. And then to do it all for nothing is the worst part about all of it. To do it all for fucking nothing. Yeah. I mean, Republican, Democrat, everyone in the middle, I think we can all agree, this was one of the most pointless exercises in military history, and 15 people lost their lives doing it. And that's just counting the Americans that died, not the other people on the other side. So anyway, I don't want to get off on a rant here, but my day job, along with the commercial break, is to be around journalists all day long who are, you know, affiliated with both parties, center right, center left. And all of them were universally
saying,
like when the text was released about the memorandum, all of them were like, wow, so much worse than we even could have imagined, that we even thought. And that one guy said, I understand why they didn't want to release this. This is just bullshit. This is a surrender on behalf of the United States. And it's for nothing. Everything's same status quo, except 15 more people are dead and hundreds or thousands on the other side. So whatever, congratulations. But, you know, that's not the fault of the people who are bravely out there, you know, serving on behalf of the United States. It's the fault of people who are unbravely using the United States military for personal gain and agendas. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
But at least we got the reflection pool done. And the UFC event.
Right.
Did you see that? The UFC event? So
I did not watch it.
Okay.
No.
This was Idiocracy.
Oh, it's full blown
Idiocracy.
The movie has come to life.
It's
happening in front of our eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is one big fucking grift of the dumbest occasion. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a stance here that I think maybe some people won't expect. The UFC event on the front lawn is bothersome to me, but it's not, I don't think, the worst part of all of this. I think the worst part of all of this is the grift that's associated with like Donald Trump posting on the official White House account about a betting app that he is invested in. He's doing commercials from the White House is essentially what's going on. That's the worst part. This is what scares me the most is not the UFC event in and of itself. What scares me the most is that this is the direction that at least 30% of the people who live in this country think is okay.
Right.
Not the UFC event, that we're doing white commercials from the White House, that we're, you know, allowing fighters to get dressed in the Lincoln bedroom and, you know, get ready to have blood sport. So I was flying on Sunday night.
Yes.
And, or Sunday afternoon. And then, you know, I'm on Delta. I'm on the Delta app, and it's like free 24 hours of Paramount Plus, where the UFC was, because I was going to refuse. I'm not paying for Paramount Plus.
I canceled my subscription, yeah.
And I'm certainly not giving any money to Dana White in the UFC. Mm-hmm. That's just not going to happen. UFC is not necessarily my thing anyway. Yeah. But if a fight is on, like free TV, on occasion, I'll watch it. And I was watching early UFC fights way back when it was really a blood sport, like when it just had come on the scene. 1, 2, 3, you know, Hoist Gracie and all this other stuff.
Right.
So I got this access for 24 hours. So I connected my Delta app and I said, okay, all right, let me see what all of this is all about. And it was just the shit show that you would have expected.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane to me to watch all this stuff go down in the White House. The part outside the White House, okay, they built a stadium and a bunch of people. And 80,000 people showed up to watch that on the, like, the ellipse, whatever they call that. 80,000. You can talk about Donald Trump's crowd size numbers being small or big or not there or whatever, but there was no doubt there were almost 100,000 people there watching that fight behind the actual stage. And it's just weird to watch a blood sport happen on the White House front lawn. It really was. Really strange. And of course, Trump was asleep the whole time and, you know, asleep the whole time. And poor Nate Bargatze.
Yeah, he's been outed.
Nate, what's up, buddy? If you would have gone to a Nate show, I think what a lot of people liked about Nate is that he was apolitical.
Right.
He was like this weird, you know, like every once in a while you meet somebody and you believe that they truly are asexual. Like there are people who are asexual, but you meet somebody and you think that they are truly asexual. Like there is nothing that they don't talk about it. You don't think they have it. They've never seen it with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Like they're just. Okay, they're there.
Yeah.
That's what you liked about Nate Bargatze. He was just there. There's sometimes comedians, like Zoltan is one of those guys. I think if you watched him long enough, you could probably guess which side he would vote for. But he never talks about politics. I never heard him talk about politics. Or if he does talk about politics, he's equally offended.
Probably best to be that way to get the most audience, right?
Well, I mean, depends on what kind of comedy you're doing, right? There's George Carlin type of comedy where you poke fun at the political universe and you're very pointed about. But Carlin was truly a centrist. Like he didn't care. He would make fun of Republican or Democrat. But, you know, to show up at the UFC event when you are the best selling live comic, maybe in a generation, he is selling out like the Georgia Dome.
No, I know. His crowd, talk about crowd sizes. Yeah.
You just alienated, you know, 50% or more of the crowd just because you assume. I mean, and Nate has PR people. We know Nate's people. Like, they know this. It's not like he didn't, he could have watched it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he took a picture with a bunch of people. So not only did he know it, he probably understood that people were going to figure out that he was there. What really surprised me about this whole UFC thing, and I didn't watch the whole thing. I didn't watch it minute by minute. I had it on my phone and I was watching a new little people related show on TLC, which I'm really excited about. I want to tell everybody about it.
There's a new one? Oh,
yes.
Wow.
If there's a little people show on TLC, you better believe that Brian's tuning in.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I'm all about it. I'm obsessed with little people. The Big World, Seven Little Johnstons, and now Little Singles, or I think that's what it's called. Little Singles. I think that's what it's called. I gotta tell you, Chrissy, this is some of the most entertaining television I've seen in a long time. Anyway, so you know, I was not tuned into the whole thing, but when they started like, you know, they do the celebrity roundup in those things in between fights. They had a hard time finding a celebrity because they were pointing out, like, who's the guy, the comedian that went up, Tony, Kill Tony guy?
Right, the Kill Tony.
Kill Tony.
I read a horrible review about his special. I mean, it just said, you know, yeah, he's got, like, the off-color jokes that still are cringy, but also that the special itself is just, like, rambling and not good.
Did you expect that... Kill Tony goes up and judges other comics, but I've never seen a good set from Kill Tony himself.
I never really knew who he was, but...
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, cheers to him for having such a successful live podcast. I wish that we could even have half that success, right? It's on Netflix, and, you know, they sell out Madison Square Garden. So I'm not begrudging his success. But his talent is another thing altogether.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Howard Stern's a good radio disc jockey. I don't think he could do an hour and a half of stand-up
right,
comedy.
Right, I agree.
I think because he works around comics, people assume he is a comic. And I'm not sure that the Kill Tony guy is, you know, I'm not sure that that's his thing. I don't know, but maybe it is. Anyway, it was a hard time finding a celebrity. I didn't see any in the audience. I wonder why they didn't pan to Nate.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they had a deal with him. I won't show you. But they kept showing Trump, and half the time he was like...
No. And then was it there's like also like a Monster energy drink, like sponsored ad right next to
it. Yeah, it's all these, the whole thing was just surreal. It honestly is surreal. Yeah. We're there. It's the, we're late stage democracy kids, and that's just the way that it is. But anyway, at least we got that thing story. In any case, I will say I celebrate the end of conflict because it's never good. And we don't need any more people
that's
dying
true.
Over the silliness of one or two human beings. And you notice J.D. Vance is now out there on his apology tour. He's already running for president and distancing himself from Trump.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting to watch over the next 2 years, kids. If Trump makes it to the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Vance is gathering ye, what did he say? Gather ye rosebuds? He's gathering ye rosebuds.
He just
my
came
friends.
Out with that book, too.
Yeah, about being Catholic.
Yeah.
God, give me a break. Give me a break. I'll talk to the Pope about it. All right, we'll take a break. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about some television that I'm watching. I've got a great story to tell about the wedding. I'm shoeless Joe Jackson at the wedding. And I'll tell you all. I'll tell you all about it. Oh, look, there's some people in the... Okay, let's go to the chat real quick before we take a break. We'll just say hi to some people before we go to take a break.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? All right. I like the deal. Some Mercedes Howell says, I like the deal. That woman is still around. She was there 15 years ago. I don't know. What? Who is there?
We might
I don't
have
know.
To start from the top.
Yeah, okay. I'm starting from the top. I just don't understand what, that soap, here's someone talking about the soap contains PFAS compounds, and I don't understand a fucking word that you just said, but I agree. PFSA, stop all that stuff.
Are they the forever chemicals?
What's that?
Aren't they the forever chemicals?
They are the forever, the forever chemicals. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. $2,000 per taxpayer for the Iran war, then plus the inflation. It's terrible. Agreed with you. And we got nothing out of it. Not a fucking thing. No agreement on anything. And we're giving them $300 billion to rebuild what? Their arsenal of weapons. And then Trump was like, well, if Saudi Arabia has weapons, then Iran should have weapons. I'm sure Saudi Arabia loved to hear that, Trump, that, you know, you're now putting them on par. They're now a superpower. Congratulations. You did it. Back to the Future, Biff Tannen from Back to the Future.
Biff.
How many audience members were bussed in from that? A lot of people were saying that there was a whole, you know, thing about the military being told that they needed to sign up and be fit.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, there was a whole thing. But I will tell you that the 80,000 people who were in the Ellipse seem to be just UFC fans in general. I don't know if people were bussed in for that. I'm sure maybe some people took a bus there. But there was no doubt there was a large crowd
sure
there.
People took a bus there.
Oh, how the Bargatzes fall. Yeah, disappointing. I just went and saw him live a couple months ago, maybe a year ago. And I thoroughly enjoyed the 2 hours that he was on stage, hour and a half that he was on stage. He killed it. And not a fucking word about anything. He didn't get even come close to political. And I think that's why, you know, you looked in the audience, it was a good slice of Atlanta for sure. On the whiter side, actually, when I think about it. But, you know, it's Nate Bargatze.
Yeah.
And then have you seen his new movie, the trailer for his new movie?
No,
you haven't. Exactly. There you go. All right. Okay. So let's take a break. Keep on chatting in the chat room. Good to see everybody. Thank you very much. Cheers to Jenny. I don't see Jenny in there, but hopefully Jenny.
Surgery went well.
Surgery went well. All right. Give us a minute. You know, we got to do stuff. It's nothing. We're not here just for you. And we'll be back.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
the set. TCB is terrible. This show is fucking bad. I'd like to punch Brian's mouth. This podcast is kind of sad. Is this what we think is funny now? How do I turn it off? My ears are saying ow. Stop laughing at yourself. Are these two making sense? At least I didn't pay. I am deaf in my defense. TCB is terrible. That is being kind. Both the hosts are idiots. They left the funny behind.
All right. Love it. Love that song. Good job, girls. Good job, girls.
What is this show about?
This is fucking sad.
That was great.
Oh, that was great. I should update the song with the new bad reviews. Like, I've seen some new bad reviews. I should update the song with new bad reviews.
Yes.
They're all over the podcast apps. I mean, all I have to do is just tell chat to go read the podcast ads, podcast reviews
comments,
and comments, and there you go. I just read a terrible article. Saw a video, actually, of a you know, yesterday I was in New York. I'm not really close to Central Park. I'm south down in Soho. But yesterday, at some point in the day, I was on the rooftop working, and I heard there's sirens all day, all night.
Sure.
But I heard a mass amount, like a lot of sirens, all kind of helicopters flying everywhere. And yesterday there was like a horse and carriage. One of the horses went nuts and just started running, and it had passengers in the back.
Oh my God.
And it threw the guy who was, you know, the whatever you call him, carriage.
The ringmaster.
Driver. Yeah, the ringmaster, the horse slayer. I don't know what you call him. And the horse just went, it just started running into Central Park. Excuse me. And it killed somebody. And that's really sad. Somebody in the back. Yeah. Listen, I think those things are so cruel. Like, stop.
I don't like them either.
Stop it. They're running on the pavement. Like, they're not supposed to be on the pavement. And Central Park is a little different because they have like sandy paths, but at places. But come on, stop it. It's 2026. Get yourself a Tesla or a Waymo or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to think of driving a Waymo, even though I don't want to go to a Waymo. They have Waymos in Atlanta now. Did you know that?
Of course. I've been in one.
A Waymo in Atlanta?
Yeah.
You went in a Waymo?
I did. Jeff and I went in one.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was interesting.
I think that's cruel, too. I mean, does that Waymo have any choice in driving? No, it does not. We went to Zoltan, and we saw a Waymo stuck at a traffic light.
They get stuck,
it did not know what to do. Mm-hmm. It was totally confused. That Peachtree and Spring like intersection, it was just like,
there's stuff all over Instagram about where they get, you know, a bunch of them.
Oh, people were taking a video, and there were people in the back of the car, and they didn't know what to do. And it was like, get out. Just get out. I think they were going to the Zoltan show too. And like, we were right across the street, and I was like standing there for a second waiting for the stoplight. And I was like, just get out. What are you doing? You know, the guy was like, oh, I don't know what happened. What are you going to do? Reason with the car?
Well, you can contact a live person when you're in there.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, there's someone on deck.
Mm-hmm.
Someone on board. Yeah. Where are they? They're in San Francisco.
Yeah.
what a nightmare.
I pass them all the time. They're all over downtown.
I just don't love the idea that, like, I mean, I know they probably drive better than humans on the average, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it only works if everyone's you're only going to solve the problem of deaths via vehicle and dangerous activities via vehicle if everyone is on board with AI driving. Everyone, right? That's the only way, autonomous driving. Because if there's one idiot out there driving. I mean, I drove home from the airport last night, 2:15 in the fucking morning.
Yeah, God.
And I'm telling you what, the way that people drive downtown Atlanta is absolutely insane.
You have to be so defensive.
Yes. And the less traffic there is, the worse it is. And why?
That's true, because they can go faster.
Yeah, because there's fucking morons going 115 miles per hour on the highway. And Atlanta is unlike any other city in the world in that blind people literally drew the map. Blind people. They were like, oh, one eye closed. To see what we can do, Captain. There's a left turn in our highway, in our major thoroughfare, I-75. It is one of the largest highways in the country. It's like 22 lanes at one point.
It's huge.
It's huge, 11 on each side. And in that 11 lanes, there is a left-hand turn that no one, even people who have been living here their entire lives, know how to navigate. And the more open it is, the worse it is, because people just go. I mean, they go so fast, and then you're taking a left-hand turn, literally. Wait, is that a 90-degree? 90-degree turn on a highway that's got 65 mile per hour on. It's 65 miles per hour. It's insane. And if you've ever been to Atlanta, you know, we didn't do the best job of like identifying streets and highways. It's all over the place. Sometimes you exit left, sometimes you exit right. Sometimes there's street signs, you know, that accurately mark where you're going, and a lot of times there's not. It's like driving on LSD is what it is. That's what I liken it to.
I know. There was even, I was driving Rachel home from, she had surgery, you know, a couple weeks ago. And
yeah.
I was driving her home from that. And there was a, you know, the yellow sign where it says, you know, exit only.
Yeah.
Like on the, you know, the big green one that has the street. It was just in the, it was supposed to be pointing to a lane, but it was pointing to the middle, like where the lines were.
Yeah. Good. Like, exit only.
Which lane is it?
Yeah, kind of ish. I don't. You pick. You choose.
Yeah.
What's your call? It's like a choose your own adventure it with is. The street signs around here. Is what
and then
is.
One street is named one thing, and then it just changes to another name.
Yeah. Peachtree Street turns into Lafayette Street, turns into Dearborn.
It's a cab turns
no one knows.
Into this,
yeah,
into
no
that,
one
yeah.
knows. Astrid, when she first moved here, she said, "It's amazing. You can get anywhere in town. Like, Brian, you can get anywhere in town just on back streets. Back roads." Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, because when you live in a city like this, you need to learn how to survive. And survival means getting the fuck off the main roads, because people drive like absolute shit in this town. If you grew up driving in Atlanta, you literally...
You get a crash course.
Yeah, a crash literally. Course. And you fall into one of three categories. I'm scared, so mm-hmm. I drive very slow so that I don't. So I don't overcorrect, make a mistake.
Yeah.
Or it's just a scary
Which
place to drive.
Is also a hazard on the road.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You'll run into people going 115 miles per hour in the far right lane, and there'll be someone going 36 miles per hour in the far left lane, and they won't move. And then when you pass them, you can see the fear in their eyes.
Yeah, that's true. They're
just like
clinging
this.
The steering wheel.
Yes, yeah. Because they don't know. They don't know what to do. They're paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Their foot is on the gas just a little bit, and they're just hoping no one hits them, right? They figure if they go slow, no one can hit them. That they're the little protective bubble. And they do it in the left-hand lane. There's number two is you are a fucking moron. You decide with... less than a quarter of a mile to go, going 96 miles per hour, that this is your exit.
Yeah, you need to all of a sudden get all the way over. Yeah. Or you could even, I've witnessed many people that have passed the exit, but then still
back up.
Yes. Still get cross, like over. Yes. Yeah.
And they back up. Uh-huh. It's the most dangerous shit in the world. Go to the next exit. Yes. Turn around. Be a human being. And then there's the third kind of driver. You're a Brian. You know how to drive aggressively. You understand how to defend yourself. You're always looking around you to see what's coming next.
You gotta always have to be aware.
Yes. But you're also going 150.
You're also going too fast.
I was driving so fast home last night. But
you were ready to get home.
Oh, yeah, I was. But there were like four guys going way faster than me. So I figured, you know, I figured that police math
you
that
be
we
careful.
All do.
You can't get that another ticket.
Our insurance just raised $119.
A month?
A month.
Oof.
Astrid is so pissed.
Yeah.
She does not want to have anything to do with me anymore. Anytime I drive, she says, slow down. And I'm like, I'm not going that fast. I'm going 30 over. I'm going 30 over.
I'm only going
But that guy's
over.
Going 60 over. Yeah. So, you know, I'm doing police math in my head.
Right.
I figure if that guy's going faster than I am, they're going to get him. But I tried that on my first ticket and it didn't work. There was a guy going faster than me, but the officer said, yeah, but I got you.
Right.
Yeah, but I pulled you over.
Yeah.
Last night was weird because, listen, I just have no luck on this LaGuardia to Atlanta leg.
I know. It sounds like
it's terrible. And you know, I usually fly home on Tuesday nights. This was a Wednesday night. And I knew that there was weather coming in. So I already kind of worked in like a 15, 20 minute delay. But I also knew we were going to get out before the weather came. So I figured if we can get out, it was originally 8:30. I figured if we get out before 9:30. We're unlikely to have major delays, right? And so when I got to the gate, time to board, 7:50, whatever, you know, delay, 15, 20 minutes. Mm. Okay. then delay, and that people are still coming off when the boarding time is. So I'm like, okay, well, we're not getting there, you know. So finally, we get on the plane about, let's call it 9:30, 9:40. It takes an extra long. Something happened on the flight before
that was coming in.
It was coming in. Mm-hmm. They had to, you know, tape someone up or something because the flight attendants were still talking about it. Some people at the gate had seen somebody being yanked off or something because the flight attendants were answering a lot of questions about it. The flight attendants were great. They're always great at Delta.
They are, you know,
they're always
yeah.
great. But then I opened my little app. I got the best app. I'm going to share it with the audience here. It's called ATC.
I need to get that app.
I want you to watch this just for a second. And guys at home, you can open up your app, your ATC app, if you want to. If you want to play along at home here for a second, watch. Now I'm going to go to LaGuardia. Watch.
Huh.
Watch this. Hold on. Stick with me. Give it a minute. Oh, this is ground main. Let's go to tower main. Okay, here we go.
Oh.
It'll show you the plane that they're talking to. It'll focus in on the plane that they're talking
zooms
to.
Zooms in.
It zooms in, and then it zooms back out. And then when they talk to another plane, it'll focus in on that plane. So you can really, if you're like a flight junkie, if you like to watch airplanes
ATC
like I do.
ATC Live Air Radio?
It's just called ATC. It's yellow. It's a yellow app.
Yeah. Live Air Traffic.
Yep. It's that one. It's like $67 a year or something. But it is just fascinating. So I've been playing with this. This just came out. I've been playing with it for a couple of weeks, I think. So I'm watching it last night as we're on the plane. Mm-hmm. I got stuck in the middle seat because I got a window seat, but then they upgraded the plane to a larger plane and they put me in the middle seat. Fuck that. I deserve better. I fly every week. But anyway, so I'm stuck between
don't
these.
Don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am?
Don't you know who I think I am?
Don't you know who I think you think I am? Don't you think I know who you
go
think I
might
be?
Go in your Delta app and put in your there's preferences for that stuff.
There is?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Well, they should tell me stuff like that. I'm an important person. When Brian Greene steps onto a plane, people go,
Sir.
Sir. When I show up with my tasty teeners out and I said, bring me a Sprite and an extra small Biscoff cookie for my tastings. And I rub it up against my scrotal area.
Yeah.
They go, oh, it's Brian from the commercial break. So I'm sitting next to two ladies. The one lady and I are almost right next to each other in line. And actually, she was right behind me. So we both get in. I get in the middle seat. Perfectly lovely lady. She's looking for a plug. She can't find it. Plug it into mine. No problem. I'm just trying to be a nice guy.
Of course.
Right? And then you don't know what to do with your arms when you're in the middle seat.
Well, the middle seat gets the arms.
That's what I think.
That's the rule.
Right? But apparently no one I sit next to believes that. I'm usually sitting in the window seat. So usually it's this guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his arm on my lap. And I'm like, come on. I sat next to this Indian guy on the way there. And there was, listen, I cannot tell you. This boy was so big. He was like chest, belly, the whole thing. And he literally was like this.
He just sprawled.
He had his arm in my chest, right? I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it because I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm going to be a nice, polite human being.
Yeah, just take it.
I just took it. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. I took it. I said, he's got the middle seat. Okay. And, you know, at least I got the window. I can go like this. Mm-hmm. But still, he's like rubbing my, and then falls asleep and his hand is like on my lap and I'm like picking him up by his like collar, like by the, the sleeve. I'm like, dink, you know, and it falls back over. This happened three times, but this is on the way there. On the way back. So now I'm sitting in the middle seat and then the last person on the plane. I thought we had an empty seat next to us. I thought me and this lady are going to have a wonderful ride together because I'm going to jump over here
and we're
going to have this middle seat. We can just put our, you know.
I had an empty middle seat on a recent flight. Yeah. It was the only empty seat on the whole flight. It was nice.
And when you have an empty middle seat, you split the chair.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll take the right side. You take the left side. Yeah, we'll put our stuff there.
Right.
We'll be partners in this whole thing.
Correct.
We have been blessed by God, pennies from heaven. Let's be nice to each other. But 5 minutes after every other person on the plane had sat down, some lady comes scrambling in with four separate bags, a huge bag of food, you know, all disheveled. She's got hair down to here, and she comes sitting in. She waggles her ass right in front of me and sits down, and she's flipping her hair all over the place, and she's
trying to get settled in. Oh, God.
So I open my ATC app, and all I see is a line of airplanes squiggling around the airport. And I thought to myself, what's going on? But because I am a pilot, at one time tried to be,
right.
I understood after just a few minutes of listening that runways were closed and there was only one opening and they were pushing tin. What does that mean? They were landing and taking off on the same runway, just tight as they could.
At
right?
LaGuardia.
Yeah, at LaGuardia. 1 mile final, somebody's taking off, somebody lands. Mm-hmm. 1 mile final, somebody lands. I mean, this guy who was doing the tower that last night, he was on it. He was doing it. But when we backed away from the gate and then, first of all, they couldn't start the engines. Again, I think I told you they had this problem.
Yeah.
So they had to bring the jumper cables or whatever
that's
they did.
Always, that's always nice.
Yeah, it always feels good when the guy says, "Yeah, we're unable to start the engines, but don't worry, no big deal. We're going to bring out our cart and jump the. We're going to give it a jump. Give it a jump. It's an airplane. Shouldn't it start? It's got a bunch of fuel in it. Shouldn't it be able to start on its own? But nope. So we get jumped. That's 15 minutes. Now we back out of the gate and we're just sitting there by the gate, and I'm watching all this go down, and I can see there are at least 50 planes waiting to take off on this same thing. And we get in line, and the pilot, you know the pilot.
From the flight deck, this is Captain Brennan. Got to have you here on the Delta plane. Just got word from ATC, just a few planes in front of us, so we're going to get in line here. It's going to be a few minutes. Everyone can just sit back and relax. We'll get you to Atlanta just as soon as we can. We'll try and make up some of this time in the air.
You're going to try and make up some of the time in the air? What do you mean?
They always say that.
Yeah, they always say that. What does that mean? You're gonna.
I don't know.
A shortcut?
Yeah.
Are you gonna take a shortcut?
Catch the wind or
yeah.
something?
Are you gonna take the back streets? What are you gonna do? How are we gonna get there? Right? Okay, you're gonna push it. I understand. You're gonna go like 5 extra knots per hour. But, you know, listen, when they say it's 2 hours and 25 minutes, what it really is an hour and 45 minutes. It's gate to gate. They're building in the time gate to gate. They wanna be on time. So then eventually we pull up, and then he goes, you know, 20 minutes later.
This captain again. I'm going to go ahead and turn the seatbelt sign off and allow you to go ahead and use the bathroom as long as you use it quickly. Let's keep ourselves strapped in otherwise. We're currently number 57 for takeoff. So I think there's a couple extra minutes built in here. But currently clear skies in Atlanta. 85 degrees when we get there. We're going to be at gate T. We'll have your baggage at 7. We're going to let the crew's going to take good care of you back there. Just sit back, relax. We'll have you back to Atlanta just as soon as we can. I'll keep you updated when I get an update. Okay, thanks.
So now everyone's like,
yeah.
So the lady next to me opens the little tray and she pulls it out. And I'm like, please don't be something fucking smelly and bad. Please don't be something fucking smelly and bad.
Did you see where the food was coming from?
It didn't say.
Oh.
It was like a, you know.
An unmarked bag. Food.
Yeah. It's like a Kohl's bag, but there's food in it.
Oh,
so you know that it didn't come from a human source. And she opens it up. And it was a burrito of some sort. And there were sauces. Not a sauce. Sauces. So she's like... The smell coming off of this thing.
Oh, no.
It smelled like lamb and putrid feta cheese is what it smelled like.
Oh, God. It was like a Greek
Chrissy, I was literally like this, right? And I look over at the lady next to me, and she's like, she like gives me this smile. Like, we're both dealing with it.
Yeah.
And then the stewardesses come by, the flight attendants come by, and they got this big, huge bottle of water. And they're like, okay, anybody need a glass of water? I'm going to hand out the cups, and I'll come by, and I'll pour some in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we got to get to the bathroom, let's get there quickly, Well, then I noticed there's starting to, like, a line backing up at the bathroom in the front. There's one fucking moron who decided to use the bathroom quickly meant take a hot shit in the bathroom for an hour. So we're, like, now another hour into it, and we're literally inching our way, snaking our way around the taxiways, and I'm keep on watching that ATC app, and I can just see it's just we're not going anywhere quick. It's not happening.
From the flight deck, just captain again. Really appreciate our patience tonight. Just got an update from the tower. Currently number 37 in line. And they're down to one runway here. Not really sure why that is, but I've been talking to tower and our company, and we're going to get you there just as safely and quickly as we can. ETA into Atlanta now 1:26 a.m., but we'll try and make up some time in the ground. Winds are southwesterly. Got some high cirrus clouds. We're probably going to climb up to 26,000. Keep it nice and smooth. I'm going to give you a smooth ride tonight. Down in Atlanta, 87 degrees. Clear skies. Looks like it's going to be a whirl. Wonderful night for a flight. We're going to go over the Blue Ridge Mountains. We'll get a chance to get some clear air at about 12,000 as we head into Atlanta. Expect a quick flight tonight. Hour and 42 minutes. That's it's me and Co-Captain Peter here up here tonight, and thanks for sticking with us. We're gonna update you here shortly, so everyone just get to the bathroom and get back to your seats, but as quickly as possible. Okay, all right. Flight attendants, please unprepare for takeoff.
Unprepare.
Please do prepare. Thanks very much.
So I'm like, oh my god. So it took us an hour to get 20 planes, right? Which makes sense. 3 minutes, landing, takeoff, landing, takeoff, landing, takeoff. So I knew it was going to be at least another hour. So then another hour. So now we're getting close to, I don't know what time it is. It was whatever god-awful time it is. Midnight. It's all god-awful time it is. And then, you know, I can see us getting closer. Now it looks like we're like number four. And then...
From the flight crew, from the flight... got a company plane in front of us has an engine problem. So we're waiting for ground crew to come out and take a look at that, and then hopefully we're going to be number 4 or 5 for takeoff. Probably another 20 or 30 minutes here, folks. Really appreciate your patience. I appreciate you flying with the Delta. Currently 87 degrees in Atlanta. Winds into the southwest.
And I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the weather in Atlanta. I want to get to Atlanta!
I know.
I don't care. It sounds great in Atlanta. Can we be there? Can we drive around the plane? You're going to tell, and then yeah, you can't go off the runway. You can't go off the runway. It's a billion-dollar plane, and you can't take it off on the grass a little bit? Come on. When I was flying, I took it on the grass all the time. That's where I tended to land, on the grass. Fucker. So finally, we take off. And to be fair, I was watching that ATC app. We were trucking. We were going 500 knots.
You were making it up in the air.
We were just passing planes that were like higher than, you know, the higher you go, the faster you go because there's less resistance, right? So you can go faster. So that's why pilots like to fly high, is because they can get up there and go. But I'm telling you what, Chrissy, like we were just like passing planes. And I was like, oh, he really is making up the time.
Yeah.
By the time I got home and got my head into bed, it was well past 2 in the morning. It was just a fucking clusterfuck. I have no luck with that. And listen, I know the pilots, they're a bunch of like typically dry human beings. You know, the personality, you have a real type A personality to be a pilot because there's a lot of stuff to pay attention to. Yeah, you got to be precise.
Yeah.
When they tell you to turn in a certain direction, you can't go, is that kind of left or kind of east or kind of west? You can't fly willy-nilly. It's not like driving down on 85 here in Atlanta. You have to pay real close attention to what they're telling you. You get instructed on what to do and you have to pay attention. But at the same time, like, you listen to that ATC and you hear pilots that have wonderful, you know, those throw in little things here and there that are funny. You know, it's kind of talking to the tower or whatever. Now they have this thing where they go, see ya. They'll say, winds out of right, 1-3, Delta 444, clear for takeoff. And then he goes, you know, winds out of the right, 344, takeoff on runway 1-3, see ya. It's like they have this thing where they just say see ya back and forth. It's kind of cute. The pilots are having fun. Why don't they show any of that personality when they're talking to the people in the back?
I know. Somebody said airlines need to hire Brian just for the cabin announcements. I agree.
100%. 100%. And if we're spending $1 billion on an airplane, can we get a professional microphone? Can we get something that sounds
clear?
Yeah, it's clear. I sound clear. I spent $70 on this. Why can't we get this in the airplane? I don't understand a fucking word they're saying half the time.
I know. I think they're talking too close to the microphone.
Well, they have them in their, they have them on their mouth. They're like those mouth microphones.
Okay, so it's right? too close to the mouth.
Yeah. Well, it's the pilot. It's fine for when you're talking to ATC. You want to make sure, you know, it's loud mm-hmm. and you want to make sure you're, it's in your mouth basically. So you yeah. can't get all that extra noise. But when you're talking on the intercom that's got 50 different, you know, broken, popped, and they have the volume up to 30. Yeah. It's like, come on, guys. It's, you know.
Come on.
I don't know. Can I tune in via Bluetooth or something? And I hate it that if you're watching something, it's like while
Stops
they're
it,
talking,
yes,
announcement in progress. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I've heard it before. Let's be real about it. If the plane goes down, it doesn't matter if there's a flotation device under me. I'm not floating anywhere. I'm dead as a doornail. Airline accidents typically don't have survivors.
Yeah.
But the good news is airlines typically don't have accidents.
True.
So there you go. At least not here in the United States. It doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a break and then I'll get back to, I'll actually talk.
To announcements?
What's that? I'll get back to announcements about television shows that I was watching in my 4-hour delay.
Oh, good.
Yesterday.
Yes. Little singles.
Little singles. All right. I don't think that's what it's called, but I like that I made up that name. I think it should be called Little Singles. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. Thanks.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Best to you, best to you, best to you, best to you.
All right, so new Little People show on TLC. If you haven't caught it, you must catch up on the premiere episode of Little Singles. I was right. That's what it's called, Little Singles.
Oh, you were right.
Yes.
They're single and they're little.
They're single and they're little.
And they're ready to mingle.
Yeah, I would have called it singlets, but okay, you call it Little Singles. Cool, right? They're single, they're ready to mingle. It's five lifelong friends or five friends, a friendship group. Three have been okay. lifelong friends. Two are just kind of like the outsiders. And they've rented a huge house and put a bunch of cameras in there in Palm Springs, California. And they all head on out there to have fun in the sun and get into all kind of shenanigans. And this is just fascinating to me. You know, I don't know what it is about Little People, but I really enjoy watching about their lives. Even the most mundane of things seem fascinating
yeah,
to me.
You've always felt that way.
I've always felt that way. I don't know. I have a special place in my heart for Little People. I don't know. I knew there was one in my neighborhood, a little person growing up in my neighborhood. I always was friendly with them. And listen, I don't know. Maybe it's just like a weird obsession that I have with watching Little People. But ever since that Little People Big World show came on,
well,
I like
apparently
all of the
other
shows.
People like it too, because these shows are
they
have
keep
gone.
Coming.
Yeah,
they keep coming
for a while.
They got Jay and Pamela now. What was that girl's name that with the little person that, but she had a different kind of condition where she like aged backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
What happened to her?
I
can't believe there wasn't a season 3 of that. Like, you would have thought that it would be endlessly fascinating to watch the creeps that wanted to date her while she was just trying to find love. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe she did.
She looked
find love.
7. She was like 37 mm-hmm. years old. That was an interesting show. But this one is like, this is prime for all the drama you're going to love, because this is Love Island, essentially, but with little people is what it is. And there's already drama. There's like two.
Are they dating in the house? With
each there's
other?
Like two that are secretly dating when they come in. They call themselves the three amigos. There's like three, a girl and two guys. And they all live all across the country, but two of them have started dating, have been hooking up, And then you throw in the hot girl who comes in, right? The hot little person who comes in, and the guy
shakes things up.
She shakes things up because no one knows the other two are dating because they're keeping it a secret from their third friend because they don't want to break up the friend group. and so now he's hitting on her, the hot girl's hitting on him, and the girl who he's supposed to be hooking up with is like all pissed off.
Yeah.
And so she calls one of her hot guy friends to come in and be the ringer to date the hot girl. This is all, I love it. I'm all about it. They're drinking, they're swimming around in the pool, they're climbing on store shelves, grabbing stuff from the top. I think this is fascinating. You got to watch this show.
I might watch that one, yeah.
I saw the first episode and I'm like, I'm hooked. Give me season 3 and 4 of this. I want to go the distance on this one. Because also, if the personalities weren't entertaining, then it wouldn't be entertaining.
Of course.
Right?
No, you have to have entertaining people.
Yes. And like I've said about the Seven Little Johnstons. Great show. Love the Seven Little Johnstons. I have any of them on the show any day of the week. I love all of them. I think they're all great. But it's very formulaic. There's no breakout personality star of the Seven Little Johnstons. Together as a unit, they're entertaining.
How long has that show been on?
They're like on the 9th season or something. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, just to have that many years of your life.
Yeah. And then My Big Fat Fabulous Life is coming back. Whitney is coming back. You know, I don't know. Not everyone's bag to take GLP-1s, but she's been fighting this fight for a long time. You'd think that maybe she would think about GLP-1s.
Yeah.
But then does she have the show if she does?
Right. Probably not.
I don't know. Good question. I kind of tuned out of Whitney because I think she has become famous and she's allowing that fame to get to her head a little bit. She seems a little bit spoiled and obnoxious, if I'm being honest with you. So that for that reason only, I'm kind of like, not for me. And it's 90 Day Fiance, by the way, back on point.
Really?
Back on point.
Don't tell me.
Back
that.
On top. God. Let me tell you, the newest season of 90 Day Fiance, they have some great couples that are just
I'm scared to let myself go there again.
Chrissy, it's shit show all over again. I love it. No more boredom. Let's get back into it. Let's get the craziest people on earth.
Where are they from? Where are they coming from?
Oh, I don't know. Kazakhstan, India, yeah. Iran, you know, Colombia, you know, the usual roundups. But all of them are crazy. Every one of them are crazy. And so I just love it. One of the girls has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
She's like basically homeless. And this guy comes from England. And she, one of her obsessions, her obsessive compulsive disorder is when she drinks, she has to make out with anybody she sees. She has to literally.
What?
With all the guys. And this poor proper.
She's the one bringing him.
Yes.
Over, okay.
Yes. And she tells him like right off the bat, and she has a problem. Like she doesn't filter. There's no filter.
Yeah.
So when he gets there, he's a 19-hour flight, whatever, however long he's been on there. They're driving home, and she's like, "You stink." And he's like, "Excuse me?" And she goes, "You stink. Like in your mouth and your body, it all stinks. Like you're really smelly."
Great.
It's awesome. I love it. He all makes right. her check, like they're checking out of a hotel, and she makes him check under the bed like 50 times to make sure nothing's there. And you can just see him just seething. He's like, "I checked." And she's like, "But did you really check?" And he's like, "I checked." She's like, "Can you check again for me? Can you take the flashlight out and check again?" It's like, what do you leave under a hotel bed? Who puts
something
stuff under?
Something could have rolled under there.
Could have. I understand. Yeah. Check once.
Yeah, check once.
Check twice. Check 3 times if you want to be nice, but you don't have to check 50 times. I love it. But where 90 Day Fiance really is getting it right is 90 Day Fiance Forever After, whatever the fuck they call that. Yeah. They're at an English manor and all your...
Last resort?
Last resort.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. This is Shekinah and what... they have a great group of people. Their relationships are all in a hot fucking mess. They're all screaming and yelling at each other. They're living in this English manor together, and they're having sex classes and pulling out dildos. I love it. I'm back on the train. For a minute there, I was like, this is too much. But, you know, 90 Day Fiancé is reinventing itself in a way that I like. Now, I also understand they're all becoming, you know, personalities in and of themselves.
Yeah.
But it seems like most of the personalities haven't had, like, mainstream Hollywood success or even... non-mainstream Hollywood success. Yeah. What they have had is really nice OnlyFans career.
Uh-huh.
As most of those girls, not most of them, some of those girls and some of the guys, to be fair, have turned to OnlyFans. Okay. So that's the trashy TV. Let me tell you about good TV I am watching. Have you seen Widow's Bay?
Yes.
On Apple TV.
So good.
OMG.
I have not watched the finale yet. It just came out right yesterday.
I don't know. Yeah, because I'm only on episode number five or six.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Widow's Bay is the weirdest show.
It's like a comedy
drama.
Scary drama. Yeah.
It's all of the things.
Yes.
It's all of the things. And I am absolutely fascinated by this show. I actually did not love the first episode, but I was like, it's gotten so many good reviews. Okay, just go for the second episode.
I love that main actor.
Matthew Reese.
Yeah.
He, one of my favorite shows, The Americans. Mm-hmm. The Americans on FX. Good. God damn, is that like a perfect show.
Yeah.
It's just a perfect television show. It's like Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad, The Americans, perfect television. And now a third one, Widow's Bay. He's been some of the best television.
When I saw he was in it, that hooked me. And yeah, it's a really good show.
Done.
Uh-huh.
So good. I love everything about it. I love Matthew Reese's like comedic skills, his timing, and his ability to be very serious and he's just so good
and
in
funny.
This show. And then it's not Rip Torn, but who's the guy who plays the old? I wish it was Rip Torn, but it's not Rip Torn. Who is it? The guy who plays the older guy? He was in Barry.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the guy, you know, they were hitmen, and he was Barry's.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
He was.
I put two and two together just like episode number four. I finally went, oh, Barry, that's where he's from.
Yes.
Is Barry. Widow's Bay is so good. You got to watch
this
fucking
show. And
it's
got the guy in it that we interviewed. The tall, red-haired guy.
Oh, yeah. I cannot remember
his
name.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he was great. We had fun with him.
Yeah, he's...
Let's see.
He's having a moment.
He is. Well, he told us he had just filmed an Apple show,
mm-hmm.
But he couldn't tell us what the Apple show
was. He was also in Pluribus.
That's right.
For one episode.
That is Jeff Hiller.
Jeff Hiller.
And Stephen Root is the guy from Barry. Stephen Root. So it's Matthew Reese.
Stephen Rip Root.
Stephen Rip Torn Root, Katie O'Flynn, Tim Baltz is also in the show, who we have interviewed also. Remember Tim Baltz? Mm-hmm. Tim Baltz, our friend from Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a great show.
I watch a lot of TV and I'm like, oh, I interviewed him. Oh, I interviewed him. Isn't that weird? That's a weird sensation.
I've thought about that
too,
yeah.
It's like, wow, I talked to him. Not that they would ever remember us, but Zoltan's going to come back on the show, by the way.
Oh, great.
Yeah. When? I don't know.
Perfect.
But I'm just letting you know. At some point in some time in the future, Zoltan will be back.
Good.
But I guess we can say that about everybody. He is just so lovely, Chrissy. I think Zoltan was probably one of my favorites in the beginning. I mean, from the start. But now that I've seen him do his thing,
he's still up there.
I'm a little starstruck, if I'm going to be honest. Yep. All right. Okay.
Oh, happy birthday to somebody.
Whose birthday?
Happy birthday to me.
Oh, Jenny.
Jenny.
Happy birthday. Wait, is Jenny, is not Jenna. Jenna had surgery or Jenny had surgery?
But it's not that.
No, I get confused sometimes, guys, because your names are not like actual names, obviously, on your username.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But happy birthday.
Slap that bass is not the actual guy's name.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks everybody for jumping in. Chrissy and I are going to do another show. So what I have to do is I just have to turn it off and then I turn it back on. So pay attention and we'll do another show. Give us 10 or 15 minutes. We'll get into it again. And
then we'll have stories from the wedding.
I have a few stories from the wedding. I forgot my Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
I didn't forget. I just didn't get to it. My Shoeless Joe Jackson. You know how I like to drone on. Yes, she changed her name. Same person.
Name.
Told
okay.
you. All right. How was the surgery? Everything okay? All right. We'll figure it out.
Yes.
And yes, the airlines do need to hire me. That's right. But somebody has hired me to be a voice actor.
Uh-huh.
I'll share more about that as the days go on.
You got the job?
Got the job.
Uh-uh. Wow, we do need to hear about this. Okay.
We do, but let me do it first.
Yeah, yes.
So I don't fuck it up. Let me do it first, and then, you know.
Then
but
we can talk.
Surprisingly to everybody's surprise, yes.
Okay.
And I'll share more about that. When it comes up, Jenny's doing great. Good news. Okay, glad to hear. I was thinking about you over the weekend. Actually,
yes.
Slap that bass is laughing. All right, guys, stick with us. We'll be back. More fun and shenanigans. More wedding stories. More talking about the pool. I'll go back there and
I'm gonna go look at it.
Yeah,
the break.
Pulled the frog out of there this morning. Anytime it rains, the frogs go in there, and that drives me fucking crazy. I hate pulling frogs out of there.
You mean out of the little catcher thing?
No, this time it's like just in the middle pool? Of the pool. It looked like it was dead, and then I grabbed it.
And it was like,
yeah. I think it was just taking a nap, and I woke it up. All right, youtube.com/theCommercialBreak. For all the live shows, all the videos, you know how to do it. You can stream there. You can also stream us on Twitch and at The Commercial Break on Instagram. Okay, I guess that's all I can do for right this second, Christine.
I think so.
But I tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe.
Until next time. Best to you.
Bye. Bye.
Five 30!